All right, what's going on, guys? End Time Headlines here. Listen, tonight I want to minister to a particular group of individuals. You may be watching by YouTube, by Rumble, or however you may view this video. You may be listening by Apple, by Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And listen, if you are an individual, again, this is a specific group of individuals I want to minister to tonight. If you are one who had a strong relationship with God, you had a strong walk with God, you were on fire for God, and as of lately, you're in a season where it feels like your fire has kind of fizzled out. It feels like you are not walking as close as you were to the Lord. You feel distant from God. You would even go as far as to say that you could be backslidden. You are partaking of things that you would have not partaken of in seasons past. You have lowered your standard wherein which you had a high standard. You're mingling and you're yoked with groups of individuals and people that at one time you came out from among them and you were separate, but now you find yourself more comfortable around people who don't even have a relationship with God, who are not serving God, than you are with God's own people in the house of God. Even the house of God is a chore to you. When you actually do go, it's like punching a clock and doing a chore, doing your duty, or putting in your hours of the week. If that's you tonight, if you feel like that, but deep down inside, you recognize that you're in a place that you don't want to be. Your heart is not where it should be. That fire has gone out, and you recognize that. You understand that. You perceive this, but you just don't know how to get yourself out of this pit. You don't know how to get yourself back up on top. And the enemy has convinced you. Maybe he's lied to you, whispered in the middle of the night and told you, you've gone too far. You've too far in the pit. Too far in the mire and the muck. You've backslid too far. You've gotten into drugs. You've gotten into alcohol. You've committed adultery. You've committed fornication. You've committed sexual immorality. You're looking at things you shouldn't look at. You're doing things you shouldn't be involved in. You're entangled in a yoke of bondage, and now you've crossed that line. And you're done. God has wrote you off. If that's you tonight, we've got an encouraging word that you need to hear. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Tuesday night, November 19th, and welcome to our 8 o'clock hour. This is what I like to call our devotional hour. We have dedicated this slot to do these devotional words, these words of equipping and encouraging and teaching the body of Christ. And tonight, I just want to exhort a group of individuals tonight. Just like you heard at the introduction, this is not for everybody. This is for a specific individual or individuals who if you feel like you're in a backslidden state, and you know you are. And the reason why you know you are is because the seed of God has been planted in you, and you are a son and daughter of the Most High. But your actions don't reflect that. Your fruit is not bearing that. And it's not because you don't love God. It's because, again, guys, we're all susceptible to this. June 2nd of this year was 24 years I've been serving the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Here I am 24 years into this thing, and my relationship with God is not like it was in 2000 when I first gave my heart to the Lord. Listen, when you first get born again, you first get saved. I mean, it's like you want to talk about the fire being ignited. It's like somebody comes along and just douses gasoline on the fire, and you are just a combustible flame, and you're just trailblazing a fire come on, for the kingdom of God everywhere you go. Because it's a fresh encounter. It's a fresh experience. You've just given your heart to the Lord, and you are telling everybody about your experience, and you're witnessing the gospel. Your family knows about it. Your friends know about it. Your coworkers know about it. Everybody in close proximity to you and in relationship with you, they all know about your encounter. But as time goes on, we are all susceptible to this, and life in general comes. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person, but life in general comes. And with life comes trials, tribulations, setbacks, failures, weaknesses. Again, there's all these things that come. And as a result of this, if we're not consistently pursuing God and chasing after God, and trust me, it doesn't take very much to become lackadaisical. It doesn't take much to become complacent. When you start skipping the house of God, you start skipping the prayer sessions, you start skipping the reading of the Word of God, you start skipping these things, and then one day turns into every other day, and then every other day turns into 3 days straight, and then a week straight, and then before you know it, you're like, wait a minute, when was the last time I prayed? When was the last time I fasted? When was the last time I went to church, to the house of God, and gathered together with the other believers? And before you know it, your fruit begins to reflect that. You're no longer walking in love like you once was. You're not easy to forgive people like you once did. You had a restraint over your mouth, but now you let your mouth just speak whatever. You let anger just rise up. It's like the Spirit of God is being suppressed because you're not putting fire. You're not putting fresh wood on the fire. You're not keeping the fire burning. Like in the Old Testament, the priest, every single morning, they had a responsibility, and they would come and they'd have to clean off the ashes, and they'd have to put fresh wood in there and fresh fire every morning. And you know what this represents? It represents our walk with God. It is, the Bible says his mercies are fresh and new each and every morning. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, I die daily, not weekly, not monthly, not yearly. He didn't say, or as some like to say, I got born again 50 years ago. Okay, well, that's great. I got born 24 years ago, but are you still on fire for God? Are you still pursuing God? Are you still bearing fruit for God and for the kingdom? Are you still witnessing the gospel? Are you still testifying about him? Does everybody around you know that you're born again? Know that you're saved? Know that you're on fire for God? Or have you become again, you're just going through the motions? And now here comes, as a result of this, here's what's going to happen. As a result of this, the devil will come in and he'll start condemning you. And then you'll become ashamed. And now you don't even want to go to the house of God anymore because you feel like you don't belong there. After all, it's been weeks since you've been there. It's been months since you've been there. Or when you go, you don't feel the quote unquote presence of God anymore. You don't feel like worshiping. You don't feel like lifting your hands. You don't feel like praising God. You don't feel like following along in a way. You don't feel like being there, period. What is this? This is a result of allowing the flame to burn out, to dwindle away. But I'm going to give you today is two verses, and then I'm just going to talk to you for a minute. We're not going to spend a long, long time on these devotionals. We just want to make them impactful, and we want them to touch people's lives. I want to give you this verse. This is in Micah chapter 7, verse 8. Let me pull this up. I love this. One of my favorite scriptures, by the way, Micah 7:8. Look what it says here. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, somebody say, when I fall, not if I fall, when I fall. Every single one of us. I don't care your title, your position, how many years you've been serving to God. If you built a church, own the church, or pastor the church, every individual is going to, in some way, form, or fashion. Now, when we say fall, it doesn't mean that you're going to fall into some scandal or that you're going to end up on the front page of a newspaper because you've done things that are just beyond comprehension. Is that a form of fall? Sure. But most of them people that you see like that, oh, can I just talk to you for a second? And we're going to get into this verse, I promise. Most people that you see that make headlines on the newspaper, news organizations, Christian organizations, where in which the lead shepherd, the lead pastor falls into immorality, falls into a sexual scandal, whatever the case may be. Guys, that was not their fall. That was their public display of the fall, but they fell privately before they ever fell publicly. You better hear that. Before they ever fell publicly, openly, where everyone knew about it, they had already fallen privately. Because nobody falls into adultery. Nobody falls into immorality. Nobody falls into some type of corruption where you're embezzling money from a church. You don't just fall into that. That is a problem that's perpetuated through a long time. And then it was just fully manifested. But again, I want to say that again. There was a fall privately. They had conceived the idea. They had entertained the idea. And eventually they succumbed to it. And then it was displayed publicly. Okay, so let me go back to this verse. Micah 7:8. I love what he says. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. He's talking directly to the enemy. Did you know there is times when you're going to get to a point where you talk to God, and you should, but then you start talking to the enemy. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy, implying that the enemy was rejoicing over Micah who had fallen. Now, I'll give you the context for this, but I'm going to preach this today. Listen to this. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. Somebody say, I will arise. I love it. When I fall, and it's going to happen, I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get back up. I will arise. When I sit in darkness. Did you know that every one of us are going to go through a time? It may not be now, it may not be yesterday, but there will be a time when you're going to sit in darkness. You're going to feel abandoned. You're going to feel rejected. You're going to feel let down. You're going to feel completely disconnected with reality. Like, what am I doing? What has happened to me? What has succumbed to my ministry? What has succumbed to my family? How did this happen? How did this happen? How did my marriage end up like this? How did this happen to my children? How did this happen to my finances? How did my business get impacted? I can't believe this happened. And you will come to a place and notice that in the verse, let me pull it back up in Micah 7:8, setting in darkness is equated with falling. Oh, come on. Because anytime, listen to me, as a believer, when we fall short of the glory of God, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we fall, it is equated with setting in darkness. And you know what? This is a good thing. Here's why. Because you have remorse and you acknowledge that you have fallen and that you're in a low point. You're in darkness. But here, I love what Micah says in Micah 7:8. He says, when I fall, I'm going to get back up. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord, come on somebody, the Lord will be a light to me. So knowing that we are going to fall, and when we fall, we have to remember. We have to get it in on the inside of us that when we fall, we don't stay down. Well, Brother Ricky, I've done it now. I've blown it. I've messed up with my marriage. I've messed up with my ministry. I've messed up with my kids. I've messed up royally. I've destroyed my witness. I've done all this. I get it. You've fallen. You're in a bondage. You're in a substance addiction. You're entangled in this thing. But my friend, it's time to get out of the darkness. Why? Because the Lord is right there in the darkness with you. He has not let go of your hand. He's not abandoned you. He's not forsaken you. Lo, I'll be with you until the end of the age. And Micah says, even when I sit in darkness, the Lord is with me. And he's going to enable me. He's going to empower me to rise up again. Thus, knowing this, this is why he can make this statement to the enemy. Don't, you may be laughing at me. You may be mocking at me. You may be mocking me. You may be ridiculing me. But I may be down today, but I'm getting out of this thing and I'm getting back in. Come on to the race, and I'm going to finish this race strong in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Now, in context, because context is everything, this is a prophecy wherein which the prophet Micah speaks in behalf of the faithful remnant of Israel. Despite their current suffering and hardship, Micah makes this bold declaration in his statement, saying despite the sufferings of the Jewish people, the hardships, the persecutions, the setbacks, and the turmoils, that Micah understood that the Lord God was with Israel, and he was not going to allow them to remain down and in darkness, but they shall rise again and they shall triumph in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So guys, I know contextually this is for the Jewish people. It is for Israel, written by Micah. But guys, this is, I'm telling you, a personal rhema word for somebody. Now, let me give you another word, and it's out of Psalms 37. This is a very, very familiar passage of scripture. Many of us know it. We can quote it. And it says this, ready? The steps of a good man. Now your translation, if you're reading from the King James, is the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. We've all quoted this, right? Do you know what the next verse is? Let me show you the next verse. Let's just add the next verse. Verse 24, because it's all in context. Now let's read it. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Watch this. Though he fall. Oh, you getting it? Listen to this. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Watch this. For the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. Guys, this absolutely comes into scriptural agreement with what Micah said in Micah 7, 8. I love it. The steps of your steps are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. And watch this. Though you may fall, and you probably likely will at one time or another, you will not be utterly cast down because God has your hand. Let's talk about Peter. Can we talk about the Apostle Peter for a minute? I love his whole story is an absolute depiction of this. Here's the Apostle Peter, who was Simon, who was a fisherman. He was called by God to be a fisher of men, him and his brother. Now here, Peter was the personification of what a great Christian would look like. He was faithful to God. He was right there by God's side. Peter knew the deep things of God. He had revelation knowledge that other disciples didn't. When Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi, he said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And one stands up and says, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. And he says, yes, that's correct. He said, but who do you say that I am? It was Peter that rose his voice and said, I believe that you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, well done, Peter. He says, this revelation was not given unto you, by flesh and blood, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he goes on to reveal to Peter that Peter would be the rock wherein which Christ would build his church upon, being that Peter would be a solid pillar of the New Testament church. Now, before Peter ever became that solid pillar of the New Testament church, there's a couple things that we need to talk about Peter. Now, again, Peter looks like he's doing great. Peter is getting deep revelations of God. Peter, they go out on a boat one night in the middle of the night. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. They're in the boat. They see what they think is an apparition coming across the water of the Sea of Galilee. And one of them says, if it be you, Lord, bid us to come and walk on the water. And the voice spoke, and it was Jesus, the Messiah, and says, it is I. And it was Peter, your Bible says, that took it upon himself to exercise his faith and to walk in the word. So he steps out of the boat. You know the story. He begins to defy all the laws of gravity. He begins to defy the impossible. You cannot physically walk on water like this, but Peter was doing it because he had a word. Jesus said, he said, come, and he was walking on the water. But when he took his eyes off of the word and he began to look at his circumstance, he began to fall. Are you hearing me? Oh, come on. I'm still in my word today. As long as Peter was walking in the will of God, walking in the rhema word of God, walking according to the word of God, he was defying all odds against him. He was, come on, walking on the impossible. He was doing the impossible. But the moment that he took his eyes off Christ, he took his eyes off the word and began to focus on the circumstantial things that was going on around him. The wind was picking up. The water was roaring. He was, wait a minute, I can't be doing this. This is impossible. I'm walking on the water. And as soon as he began to do that, what does the Bible say? He began to sink. He began to sink into the ocean or into the lake of Galilee. But the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord reached out his hand and grabbed him and pulled him to shore. Oh, come on. I just come by to tell somebody today, I'm telling you, I know that there's people that are watching, that are listening, and you have fallen in some way, form, or fashion. You're in a backslidden state. You feel ashamed from it. You feel condemnation over it. The darkness is setting in. You feel alone. You feel isolated. You feel succumbed to this. You feel overwhelmed by the sin. You feel overwhelmed by the bondage, by the addiction, by the shortcoming. You feel like you failed the Lord. But the word of the Lord says that when you fall, you will rise again. And when you're set in the darkness, the Lord is right there in the darkness with you. Peter, though you did fall, the Lord upheld you with his mighty hand and pulled you to shore. So here you have Peter again. So the Lord upholds him, pulls him back into the boat. Time goes on. Jesus begins to reveal that he is going to go up into Jerusalem, where in which he will go to Golgotha, he will go to Calvary, he will go to the place of the skull, he will be crucified, he will be persecuted, he will fulfill over 300 prophecies concerning him, and he would suffer many things on the account of this. And Peter decides that he's going to rebuke the Lord and say, far be it from you, Lord, this will never happen. And the Lord turns around and rebukes Peter and says, get behind me, Satan, for your thoughts are not of men, but or they're not of God, but they are of men. And Peter was actually called Satan by Jesus. That doesn't mean Peter was Satan. It means that he was being influenced by Satan. Now think about that, guys. If you think you're somebody, and you've got your titles and you got your positions and you got your influence and you got your podcast and you got your ministry and you've got all this stuff squared away, here is Peter, who had all the qualifications as you did. He was casting out devils. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. The Lord called him. He was one of the 12 that had this kind of power to exorcise demons, but yet he turns right around and is rebuked by Jesus himself because he was being influenced by Satan. And you're going to tell me that you're not going to fall. The Bible says, take heed lest you fall. Okay, then Peter goes on and say, and he tells, and then the Lord begins to expound more, and he says, this night many of you will walk away. I will be betrayed. And Peter says, if they all walk away, Lord, it won't be me. I'll never do that. I'll never walk away. I'll never betray you. And once again, Peter puts his foot in his mouth, and Jesus turns to him, and Peter, and he turns to him and says, Peter, and we all know the story, guys, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter walks away like, no, that's not me. That's not going to happen. After all, I'm the guy that cut off Malchus's ear because I love Jesus so much. I'm the guy that walked out on the water, on the boat. I'm the guy that had the deep revelation that who he was, and he was the Messiah. This is not going to happen to me, but it did happen to him. When the rubber met the road, Peter did exactly as Christ said. Not once, not twice, but three times he denied Jesus. At one point, Peter was found warming his hands by the fire, denying Jesus. And guys, this is what happens to us when we're in a backslidden state, when we fall away from God. Listen, we no longer want to be consumed by the fire of God. We just want enough of God to warm our hands by the fire. We want to come to church. We want to be present, but we want to be in the back row. We want to be in the very back. We don't really want to be up there where things are happening. The anointing's there to break yokes. Because why? Because we have fallen in love with the world, with darkness. We become enamored with the darkness. And there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of believers out there that they've fallen in love with the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but of Satan and is of the world. They're enamored by these things. They love the darkness. But watch this, but they have the seed of God in them, and they can't shake the conviction, and they better thank God they can't shake that conviction. So what they do is they justify their actions. Well, I did go to church, even though I was in a position where I could warm my hands by the fire, but I didn't want to get into the consuming fire. I didn't want to go to the altar, so I stayed in the back row and just punched the clock and went through the motions and sat there through the hour or 2 hours and did my thing and went home and tried to make myself feel good. But all the while, you're still miserable because you can fool everybody else. You can fool the pastor, you can fool the deacons, the elders, the people in the congregation. You can tell your friends, I went to church this past Sunday, but then you get back home and watch this. You're sitting in darkness. You're alone when the lights all go out and you're miserable. You're weeping at night because you know what it was like at one point to be on fire for God and have a burning relationship with God. And he was your everything, but now he's on the back burner. Now he's second choice. Now he's just a spare tire in your trunk in case you need him. And so your heart is being ripped out of your chest because deep down inside, yes, you love God. Yes, you want to do what you know is right, but there's this internal struggle of your flesh and your spirit. So friends, if we ever get to this point, we have to get to the point, watch this, where Peter was when once, you know what? Oh, come on, somebody. The breaking point for Peter was when the rooster crowed. Who would have ever thought that a rooster would be the altar call that Peter needed and be the breaking point to bring him out of his darkness? Because when the rooster crowed, it shined the light on Peter's life, and he realized at that point that everything that Yeshua told him would happened. And Peter was remorseful. He wept bitterly. And you know what happened? Peter went into a place of darkness. I can prove it. Peter went back to his old life. He went back to doing what he did when the Lord called him. He went back to his fishing business. But I come by to tell you, friends, listen, you can go back to the bar and sit at the bar with all your old buddies and all your old drinking buddies. You can go back to the club and you can bump and grind and you can dance the night away and you can do all these things with all these strange women and these strange men. You could do all that stuff. Oh, sure. You got free will to do that. You can go back to doing, you can go back to the bottle. You can go back to the weed. You can go back to the snorting whatever you're snorting or shooting whatever you were shooting. You can go back to the crack. You can go back to the meth. You can go back to the pills. You can go back to all that stuff, but it will never taste the same again. It will never give you the high like it did. It'll never feel as good as it used to. Come on, because sin is fun for a season. But once you have the seed of God in you, friends, you will be wrestling with the Holy Spirit of God until you get to that breaking point. And again, this is what Peter did. Peter was convinced, I blew it all. I'm done. It's over. My ministry is gone. Jesus prophesied all this stuff about me. I was going to be the pillar of the New Testament church. I was going to be the rock in which he built a church upon. I was going to do all these things. Boy, he missed it because I blew it. And now here I am. I'm sitting on a fishing boat in the darkness. But come on. But when Jesus, oh, come on. But after the resurrection, Jesus revealed himself to the disciples for a period of days. Let me show you where I'm at. I'm in John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples to the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said unto them, quote, I am going fishing. See, here he is. I'm going back to what I did before, guys. They said to him, we are going to go with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. It's amazing. Here's another thing, guys. We can get so far into the darkness. We can backslid so far that the presence of Jesus could be right in our room and we don't even recognize it. Wow, that's terrifying, guys. He can be right and moving in the midst of us and we don't feel anything. God, let us not get to that point. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Now, if you know your Bible, this should sound very familiar to you. This is the same scenario in which Jesus showed up and called these men and made them, he transitioned them from fishers of fish to fishers of men. All right, now watch this. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and the fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared even ask, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus said, come. And Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to disciples after he was raised from the dead. Peter, watch this. As soon as Jesus spoke a word, Jesus operated in the familiar of miracles and the supernatural, which Peter was accustomed to because that's what brought him to the Lord. What? That's all it took, guys. Just like a rooster caused him to acknowledge his failure, but it was the miracle that he performed with the fish that woke Peter up and he came to himself. He came out of the darkness. And he said, there's the light of the world on the other side of that bank. Get. He didn't even wait for them to roar, to move the boat to the shore. He jumped out of the boat and he swam to Jesus. Now watch this. Let's move on. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Okay, then he says to him, tend my sheep. And he said to them a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, do you love me? Now notice, why did he say it three times? Because he denied him three times. What Peter didn't understand at that point was Jesus was fully restoring Peter. And he says to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you were girded. You girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Wow. So you better get this. Not only was Peter restored, but Jesus spoke a prophetic word over him and says, you're going to live to be an old man, Peter. But when you die, you're going to die the same way I did at Calvary. And the Bible said, or not the Bible, excuse me, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, which by the way is a great historical book, and it documents the graphic detail on which how the not only disciples but the early apostles, how they all were martyred unto the Lord. And Peter chose willfully to be crucified upside down because he said he was not even worthy to be crucified in the same manner as was his Lord. Guys, this is my closing statement to you. I don't know where you're at. Only the Lord knows. Only the Holy Spirit knows. But I do know this, that I don't care what kind of darkness you're sitting in right now. I don't care what kind of bondage, what kind of addiction, what kind of mud, filth, what kind of prodigal living that you're in right now. I know two inevitable facts. One is that you shall rise again. And number two, that the Lord has never forsaken you. He's always been there, friend. Even though you said you couldn't feel him, you couldn't hear from him, it was like your prayers were going up before a brass heaven. He has always been there. He's been waiting on you. The prodigal son, the Bible says that all the while the prodigal son was living in filthy, prodigal living, the prodigal's father never gave up on him. He was always praying for him. He was always anticipating. He was always expecting. He was always waiting. He was always preparing for his return. And the Bible says that when the day came, man, I feel the Holy Ghost on this, guys. I've just felt a wave, like a billowing wave of the Holy Ghost come on me. I'm telling you, somebody's watching this right now, and you're feeling what I'm feeling right now, and that's why I'm feeling this. The Bible says that when the day came, and it says after a while, we don't know how long that is. I don't know how long you've been in this condition. Only the Lord knows. But tonight, I promise you, friend, if you'll take off the mask and you'll be real, you can fool everybody else. You can fool people in your church. You can fool your family. You can fool your friends. You can fool people online. But you can't fool God. If you'll take off the mask tonight and say, I'm here, Lord. I'm in this place of darkness. And I've been here a while. And I don't want to be here anymore. And the enemy has berated me and just lied on me and condemned me and over and over again and told me that I've gone too far. It's too late. And there's no way that I can come back from this. I come by today to tell you that the devil is a liar and there is hope for you. There is a future for you and that you, your best days are not behind you, but they are ahead of you. I need you to do something right now. Come on, we're going to move right now. We're going to give this altar call right now. I need you to do like Micah did. I need you to rise up. Come on. I need you to muster up some strength, muster up some courage, muster up some faith right now. And I need you to speak, open your mouth and speak to the devil right now. Come on, open your mouth and say, devil, you think that you've had me. You think that you've had me defeated. You think you beat me down. You think that you're going to get the victory and that you've got the W, but tonight I come by to tell you in the name of the Lord, you better not rejoice over me anymore from this night forward because you are defeated. And though I may fall, I shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord has upheld me by his mighty right hand. He's pulling me up. He's pulling me out. He's pulling me from this miry clay to pull me up and set my feet upon the rock and establish my going. I need you to acknowledge this tonight. I need you to open your mouth and say, tonight's the night I come out of this bondage. I come out of this addiction. I come out of this lackadaisicalness. I come out of this complacency. I come out of this prayerlessness. I come out of this situation and this circumstance in which I've gotten myself into. I don't even know how long it's been. I don't even know what led to it, but it doesn't matter. For tonight is the night that I'm coming up and coming out. And your Bible says, when after a while, the prodigal son came to himself and he said, what am I doing here? What have I done? I have a father that has given me everything. He's got an inheritance for me. He's got blessing for me. He's got promises for me. I'm royalty. I'm priesthood. What am I doing? And the Bible says he rose up and began. He ran out of that place of darkness. He ran out of that pit and he ran to the arms of the Father. My friend, wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, I'm telling you, the Father has been here the whole time. Even in the darkest of hour, the deepest of pits, the miry in the clay, wherever you've been, even in the drugs, in the drug house, in the crack house, in the meth house, in the whore house, in the club, in the bar, he's been there the whole time. He's just been waiting on you to turn, come on, from that thing, turn from that bondage and run to the arms of the Father. And if you'll do that right now in Jesus' name, I'm telling you, God is restoring some people. Come on, church, let's pray right now. You're watching, you're listening, and maybe this don't equate to you. Maybe you don't relate to it. Maybe you're not in the mire. You're not in the clay. You're not in the bondage. You're not in the addictions. You're not in these circumstances. Well, friend, don't just sit around and spectate. Pray, intercede for those individuals that this is relevant to, that does need to come up and out of this stuff. Because tonight is the night that people are coming back into the kingdom. I'm telling you, I promise you that if you will heed this word, then God will see it to it. You're going to feel the Holy Ghost. That fire is going to be restored. That relationship's going to be restored. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice that's watching, that's listening. Lord, despite age, demographics, ethnicity, color, whatever the case would be, it doesn't matter their circumstance. It doesn't matter their addiction. It doesn't matter the severity of the bondages or the circumstances. God, I thank you that you're a God that's able to reach to the deepest and darkest valleys and pull up and pull out in Jesus' name those individuals that's been held into captivity of darkness and to the enemy's will. I thank you tonight that they're coming out in Jesus' name and they're being restored unto the arms of the Heavenly Father tonight. Lord, we praise you. We give you glory tonight. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. Guys, I pray that this has been a mighty word for somebody, and I believe it has. And so we just praise God tonight. I can't wait to hear the testimonies. I can't wait to hear people's just the comments. I can't wait to see the results and the fruits of this. And again, we give God all the glory in Jesus' name. Again, guys, if this content has been of any value to you, help us out by hitting that like button, share this content, download our free app, get it today on Apple and Android, because listen, we're trying to be one of the most balanced ministries that you'll ever see. We want to equip the body, but we want to inform the body. We want to exhort the body. We want to equip, inform, teach, all of it. We want to do all that. And you can get every headline, every podcast, all of this breaking news by getting the app downloaded today. And it's absolutely free. And it's on Apple and Android devices. And again, be sure to hit yes to push notifications so you can get all that. And of course, as always, guys, pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the website, there on YouTube, whatever that looks like for you, whatever is best works for you. Or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, thank you so much. Again, we appreciate all of our partners, our supporters of our ministry. You know who you are. Thank you for all the letters, the emails, the messages, the cards, your generous support. Again, our heart, we just speak with a heart of gratitude. Words can never express the thanksgiving and the appreciation that we have towards all of you that make this ministry happen and do what we do. So we love you. We appreciate all of you guys. We're going to sign off for tonight. Again, tomorrow, be looking at our 2 p.m. broadcast, 2 p.m. Eastern, but we will not be broadcasting Wednesday night. We don't do that on Wednesday nights anymore. And we announced this on 2 p.m. in case you didn't hear this. We will be back here twice on Thursday, twice on Friday, once on Saturday. And then from Sunday to Friday of next week, there will be no broadcast. So no prayer on Monday night. No podcast on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. And then we'll probably, we should get back in town. We're going out of town for Thanksgiving. We should be here on Saturday. So I'll probably do one on Saturday. So we've got a space there of what, about 6 days that we're just going to take some time to rest and spend with family and friends for Thanksgiving. So, and I know many of you guys will be doing the same. So come Friday or Saturday, we'll pray a blessing over everybody as they get on the road and travel and whatnot. So until we see you tomorrow, guys, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.